So today's gospel kind of gives us a glimpse of the human side of a man who, through all of scriptures, really seems kind of bigger than life, John the Baptist. It's also a lesson on the nature of hope. I mean, the last time we heard about John the Baptist from the Gospel of Matthew was 7 chapters ago in Matthew 4. And at that point, John was being imprisoned by Herod the Great. And we don't know how much time has elapsed from the time that John was imprisoned up until the events that we heard described in today's gospel. But it was long enough that John needed some reassurance that Jesus truly was the Messiah. I mean, it seems like John was beginning to lose hope. And the question then is, well, why was John's hope wavering? I mean, was it simply because it was all the weeks and months that he was sort of languishing in prison? Or maybe it was that Jesus wasn't acting in the way that John thought the Messiah ought to act. I mean, like many Jews at the time, was John hoping for a powerful Messiah, the one who would be able to liberate the Israelites from the Romans and maybe free John from prison? Or was John expecting a Messiah who would be the divine judge, who would separate the good from the evil, hurling sinners into the flames, as John himself proclaimed last week in the gospel? I mean, today's gospel, it doesn't answer the question, but there is no question that John's doubts were real enough that he had to ask the question, are you the one, or should we be looking for someone else? Now, Jesus could have just said yes, but he chose to do a little bit more than that. In the presence of John's disciples, he performed a series of miracles that he knew would restore John's hope, because what Jesus was doing was literally fulfilling the prophecy that we just heard declared in today's first reading from the book of Isaiah. I mean, sick were being healed, you know, poor were having the good news preached to them. I mean, Jesus was making the point that everything was proceeding according to God's plan. I mean, he was telling John the Baptist to trust in God. He was assuring John that he would find his hope in God through Jesus. Now, hope is a kind of funny thing. You know, it's something that we humans seem to require in order to live. I mean, for a human being without hope, who has nothing to live for, well, that just leads to a surrender to despair. So we're very good about looking for things to hope for. Now, maybe our hopes are self-centered. Maybe our hope is for success in our career or for a stock portfolio that's on the increase. Maybe our hopes rise a little above ourselves and we're hoping for a better life for our children. Or maybe we think like really big and we want hope for a better world. So we throw ourselves into politics or technology with the hope that future generations would be better off. Now, not all of these forms of hope are selfish. I mean, in fact, a lot of these have given purpose and dignity to a lot of people for a very long time. But the problem with finding our hope only in earthly things is that it assumes that our life on this earth is all that there is. And as Christians, we know that's not the case, which is why we find two very different definitions of the word hope depending upon where we look. If we go to the dictionary, it tells us that hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to come. It doesn't tell us what the certain thing is. It kind of leaves it up to us to fill in that blank. The Catholic Catechism, however, has a much more specific definition of hope. The Catechism says that hope is the virtue by which we desire and expect from God both eternal life and the grace that we need to attain it. Let's say that again. Okay, for Christians, hope is the virtue to both want and expect that God will give us two things, that God will give us eternal life and that God will give us the grace that we need to get there. I mean, this was the hope that Jesus was trying to restore in John the Baptist. I mean, Jesus couldn't promise John that his life was going to be comfortable or that it was going to end well. And we know neither was the case. He spent the remainder of his days in prison and then was ultimately killed up by the order of Herod the Great. But Jesus was trying to tell John to put his hope in God through Jesus, because he knew God's grace would be enough to propel John from the pain of this world into the joy of the next one. Now, Christmas has been referred to as a season of hope. So what are we hoping for this Christmas? Are we hoping for some special gift or special food or even like good times spent with friends and family? Or do we hope that God will use this season to move us closer to eternal life and continue to provide the grace that we need to get there? Because the sad thing about the world in which we live is that for many, Christmas season is only about hoping for the here and the now. See, that's the problem when you take Christ out of Christmas. Because if you do, no matter how much joy those hopes might bring you during the holiday season, if just hoping for presents and food and fellowship and with friends and family is all you've got, what do you have left in January? Two things: credit card bills and guilt about gaining weight. See, that's why we have to keep Christ in Christmas, because that is where we're going to find our true hope. And if you look at it practically, there's nothing to be gained by taking Christ out of Christmas. I mean, you can still look forward to the presents and the food and the time with family with Jesus in Christmas. But by keeping him in the season of Christmas, come January, we will have more than credit card bills and guilt. We will have an even greater hope that God wants to give us eternal life, and that God will give us the grace to ultimately get there.